Okay, guys, thank you very much for having me back today. Always nice to come back, see some smiling faces. It's nice to see you all here this morning on a foggy day when I got up today. I have to say I was a bit shocked to see that there. So I'm going to speak today a little bit about freedom, and we'll talk about where this goes as we go on with this. I was having a little chat with God the other day. I do this every now and again, a little conversation, a little prayer time. And I really sensed him say and lay this on my heart. He said, life is an opportunity. Sorry, you will get used to this. I do apologize. I do this in my lessons a lot. I do walk around a lot. I'm sorry. I'll try and stay a little bit more to the thing, but it's not going to happen right now. I can tell you straight away. I'm going to be all over the place. life is an opportunity, and life is an adventure, rather, brimming with opportunities. Don't let fear hinder your future. And I then went on to talk about to him about what was I afraid of. But I guess we're all afraid of something. I guess there's all kind of like something that we're worried about or anxious about. Maybe there's a few things that are weighing us down, or that we're finding a current or continuous fears in our lives that make a difference and cause us to be robbed of the peace and the joy that we could be enjoying in life. And I think for myself, I think that when I was having this conversation a few days back now, the first thing that came back to me was people's opinions of myself. I don't know whether you have this or not, but God was very clear on it. And he was saying, well, you're worried about what people think about you. You're worried about how people view you. You're worried about how people perceive you. And that's because I like to be liked. I don't know what you're like, but I like people liking me. I like people to accept me and things like that. That seems to be pretty rational, pretty normal. But those kind of fears, those kind of worries, sometimes that if you're worried about whether people accept you or worried about how people view you, they can stop you from inheriting the kind of things that God wants us to be walking into. They can stop us from living the life that God wants us to be living. Apologies for this. Is that better? I'll talk like this. I was worried about this. I was worried about, obviously, I started praying into this, and I can sense already that God's been moving on this, because the last week's been unbelievably difficult, and people haven't liked me and criticised me quite a bit. So that's been an opportunity to deal with that. If you've got to be careful, if you're going to pray, God, help me not be worried about how people like me, because you tend to get people not liking you quite quickly. It seems to be how God deals with it. I'll give you some opportunities now, Christian, to get that sorted. So immediately got a whole load of criticism from a whole load of people. Well, that was fun. But then helped me, really, in one respect, to learn how to deal with the things that get chucked at me. But that's just one of the things. You might not be worried about how people view you. You might not be worried about things, but there's rational things that we worry about. I would have said about myself years back that I wasn't really, I was quite laid back. I think I am still relatively laid back. But when I had kids, that really changed everything. And then the worries and the fears really kicked in massively at that point. I think all sorts of different things. And they're only young, really, at the moment. But I think my little girl's 7 now, but when she was 3, she got croup. Have you ever seen that? That's not particularly nice. And she couldn't breathe properly. And we took her down the hospital, and she's in the hospital, and I had to stay the night with her. So they gave me a bed in her room, and she's on this ventilating thing, and she's all wired up to this thing. This is about midnight that she finally dropped off, I think, and so we're trying to get to sleep. It's probably the worst night's sleep I've ever had. I know as parents, we all have this, but this was every kind of like 20 minutes, this machine would beep. So we're in a hospital, And then I'd be just dropping off, and it'd go beep 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 beep. And I'd, what's going on? And literally, this nurse would just come into the room and just press the alarm off button, and then walk out. It must have meant something. But then another 20 minutes would go by, and then it'd go off again, and it was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. It's a fit, isn't it? It's a rational one, I think, because you're worried about your kids, you're worried about this stuff, and I believe, because my eldest is only 11. So I believe the older they get, the more you've got to worry about. So I haven't had to go through any of that yet. But it could be anything. You could be concerned about anything. It could be health. It could be jobs. It can be finance. It can be relationships. Fear and worry, whatever they are, they weigh us down. And they rob us of joy. They rob us of peace. They rob us of the life that God wants us to have. And they can hinder our future in a massive way. And so it got me onto thinking, what are the things that really set us free? What are the things really that we can all relate to being worried at times, at least, and mainly there is usually something that's on our mind. But there's always something that's a massive key that I've come back to at this. And that's in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. When Jesus says the following, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Which is probably quite a well-known verse, but it's something that I really want to hold on to here. Because if you start considering that, if it's the truth that sets us free, then it's lies that hold us back. Yeah, there's lies that are holding us captive. Jesus is promising something here, that the more we get to know the truth, the more that we get to know the truth about who he is, the more that we get to know about the truth who we are, the more that we get to know the truth about life, the more we're set free from the things that hinder us, the more that we're set free from the lies that hold us down. And so there are two major parts of this that I really want to start having a look at here. And the first thing is the truth about who we are. Who we are as God has made us, because I think that's really crucial. We need to know who we are. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see ourselves with the way that God has remade us, if you like. We're now new creations. We're not the same as we once were. We're different, and we've got a new DNA. We've got a new spirit about us, and it's important that we understand that. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this: God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to read that out again because it's absolutely crucial that we actually understand what's going on. There's something that's happened in our transferring from one kingdom to the next, in our transferring from being of the flesh to of the spirit, in our transferring from being a person that was following the ways of the world to a person now that is a lifelong committed follower of Christ. You have no longer been subjected to a spirit of fear. You no longer have to be, I should say, subjected to fear at all. But what now lives inside of us is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. That actually goes down to your thoughts. You don't have to entertain thoughts that are like, oh, what if that happens? What if this happens? What if it all goes wrong like this? Do you ever think like that? What if? That's a classic thing, isn't it? And usually it's bad stuff as well, isn't it? Generally speaking, what if? What if this goes wrong? Have you ever thought, what if it goes right? You want to try it. It's a lot more liberating. What if this situation all went right? How would you feel then? Probably pretty good. 99% of the things that you worry about never happen anyway, weirdly enough. I mean, I know that's a logical argument and it doesn't really help much. But it's true. The stuff that we tend to go, oh, what if, tends to not happen. And it's a lot healthier for us to think, what if it went right? But we can control our thoughts. We can, basically, all the time, if it says here we've got a sound mind, we can nail those thoughts as they come in. So hang on, I don't need to be continually going down this mindset of always entertaining these things, entertaining these habitual thoughts that keep coming in, making me worried about this, making me worried about that. And we need to keep giving these stuff over to Jesus to let him deal with the thoughts. But this is important. Our new creation self doesn't have any fear in it. You don't have any fear in you at all. That might seem weird, because you might be going, well, I experience fear still, and you may well still experience fear. But it actually has been killed off in us. At the cross, it's been killed. It's gone. It's gone completely. And there now is a spirit of power and of boldness and of courage that lives inside of you. You might not all experience. We don't always experience this. I know this week I didn't always experience this when I was having all sorts of criticism chucked at me and all the rest of it, and when my little girl was in hospital and all the rest of it. But fear doesn't actually have to be the one that controls us anymore. We don't have to let ourselves be controlled by worries and anxieties and fears. I guess that's the thing. It can come knocking, but it doesn't have to control. And that's really, really important. We have to believe it to experience it. That's faith, I'm sorry, just the way it works in this religion. Just have to go with that. We did even sing it today. We live by faith and not by sight. And that's it. You live by faith, not by feelings. We live by faith, not by how we feel, but how we actually believe. And what we believe, then we become. What we believe, therefore, we'll end up experiencing in the end. And it might be a battle at times. It might be a battle to kick out the fear and the anxiety and the thoughts that come like that. But in the end, our experience becomes what we ended up believing in the first place. And it's important that we believe who God has made us to be, not the feelings that we have. Because a lot of the time our identity is based on how we feel. A lot of the time we say, I'm like this, I'm like that. And we create our own identity on how we feel at the time. I'm a worrier. I don't know if you ever said that, but you could. Yeah, I don't know if you do or you don't. Oh, I'm a worrier, that's just my nature. No, it's not. Apparently. No, it doesn't say that in the Bible. So you need to almost catch that when it comes. That's not who you are. Who you are is not how you feel. Who you are is what the Bible says. Who you are says is how that comes. And we need to be very, very, very careful. We're made in God's image. So therefore, everything that is of God is His image inside of us now. The Lion of Judah lives inside you. I bet you he doesn't run away that often. All right, the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells inside of us. And we need to see ourselves and perceive ourselves the way that God has made us. I think when fear and intimidation comes knocking, when worry comes knocking on my door, a lot of the time I will speak this out. This comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Jeremiah was quite young when he was told to go out and prophesy to a load of people who generally didn't like him, and definitely the things that he was going to say to them. So you can guess he wasn't going to be, you know, overly blessed with the things that he was asked to do. His job description wasn't the best at that time. It wasn't the case of, oh, we will honour you, O prophet. It was more like, we'll chuck you in prison for anything you're going to say. So you can understand that this guy is going to be a little bit worried. And God says this to him, and I think it applies to every single believer. He says, behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land. And I'll fast forward a bit. It says, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to deliver you. A fortified city and an iron pillar. Bronze walls against this whole land. You're strong. We need to understand that. We're strong people. We're courageous people. We're bold people. And nothing can prevail against us. Because God dwells inside of us. And that's a massively important thing to get on the inside. And I will speak that out. If I'm going through it, I did it this week. I was getting criticized. It doesn't matter what about. I mean, I didn't think I deserved it, but maybe I did. And I got criticized by a few people for this part of my job that I have to do. And it was, it was quite intense. And then I was like, right, I'm just going to speak this out. And I spoke it out. I don't think it was in your lesson, actually. I think it was in a free period. And I was going around, and I'm going, no, hang on. I am a fortified city. I am a bronze. And I was just speaking it out. I was speaking it out and speaking it out. Just speaking out these two verses again and again and again. And the more I did it, The more I did it, the more I could experience this inner strength rising up inside of me. The more I spoke out, no, hang on a minute, nothing can prevail against me on this. Nothing it can prevail here. Then I was just feeling stronger and stronger. Remember what I said, belief comes before experience. I could have just gone under and gone, oh, whatever. I hate this. I'm just leaving now. I mean, that's a natural reaction, isn't it? Yeah, oh, why do I even bother? I'm off. Yeah, I'll just get pushed around by this one again and just be left. But, you know, I love an easy life. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love to be, but it's not how it's supposed to be, is it? You know, the best things are not the easiest things. And so I just carried on speaking out. And then I felt God rising on the inside of me. I felt the strength of God rising on the inside of me. And then I was ready again to handle the world. I was ready again to handle the things that were being chucked against me. And the criticism that came. You know, you can do it. You can go through anything with God on the inside. The second thing, which is slightly smaller, so we go through it, but it's equally, if not more important, is the truth about who God is. So we need to know who we are, but we also need to know who God is. And that's absolutely crucial, absolutely vital. It says in the Bible, I love this, 365 times it says in the Bible, do not be afraid. That's a lot of times. You know, one for every day of the year, apart from on a leap year when you're allowed a day off. But 365 times it says in the Bible, do not be afraid. And it comes generally as a command, actually. You're not allowed to be afraid. Woo-hoo. Dangerous stuff. You think it's just a nice suggestion from God, but it's not. He's like a bit hot on it. And he knows the damage it does. And very, very often afterwards, it says why. It says, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. That usually comes next. That's the next bit. Do not be afraid, because I'm right next to you. Do not be afraid. I'm right with you in it. Do not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid in this, because I'm going to go there with you in it. That's the next bit of a lot of these verses. There's no need to be afraid. I'm with you in everything you're going to go through in this. And God's faithful. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. In every situation, whatever we have to go through in the future, whatever the future chucks at us, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, He will always be by our side. He will always be giving us strength. He will always be taking us through it. He will always be lifting us over it. He will always be giving us wisdom, always giving us grace to go through it with joy in our hearts, with a peace, with a grace, with a love. Knowing His presence banishes us from the fear that is around us. Now, Christianity is not a get out of hard stuff for free card. You know that. It happens. But He promises to walk alongside us in absolutely everything that we have to go through. And that promise in itself takes away a lot of the worst parts of it. Because it's usually the fear rather than the circumstance. That's worse. You know when people are most unhappy in the week? They did a psychological study on when people are most unhappy in the week. When do you think it is? Monday morning, most people go for. It's Sunday evening. Sunday evening, people are most unhappy. Because they're going, oh, it's Monday tomorrow. I hate Mondays. Yeah? It's the anticipation. It's the fear. It's the dread. It's, oh. By the time you hit Monday morning, people are like, that's not too bad. Yeah? But that's it, you know. It's usually the, oh, it's coming. That's actually worse for people. By the time they got out of bed and they're doing the day, then they've forgotten all about the dread of it. And the fear of it seems to be the worst part of a lot of this. So knowing His presence, that's what gets rid of it. So we need to trust in Him. We need to absolutely trust in Him if we're going to get through the things that we're there. There's a beautiful story. Numbers 13 and 14 is your homework this week. So I'll be checking next week that you've done it all. great story. I say it's a beautiful story. It's a great demonstration of something what you shouldn't do, really. Where the spies are sent out from Israel to see what the promised land really looks like. And it is amazing. It's full of these huge grapes and amazing things, and a land flowing with milk and honey and all the rest of it. Honey flowing and milk flowing always seems a bit weird, but there you go. So it sounds great. It sounds amazing. And they go and their spies, they go out and they go, this is a truly amazing land. However, there are horrible things there, things that will eat us alive, these great big giants and anoraks and things like that, that are going to be very, very bad for us. And so we don't want to go in there because we'll get absolutely mullered if we go there and we'll all get eaten alive. So they all rebel at that point and say, we're not going anywhere near the promised land. It's just going to kill us alive. At which point God has serious words with most of them. There's only two of them at that point, Joshua and Caleb, that are actually saying, no, it's actually good. God's promised it. We should go in there and everything will be fine. You can read it in your homework over the week and just get good on that. But it serves as a reminder that everything in the future needs to be inherited by faith. Everything that you're going to needs to be trusted in God for. And no matter the giants in your life, now, present or future, we should never let the fear of them hinder us entering into the land that God's got for us. We should never let the fear of anything hinder us from what God has planned. God's got amazing plans for our lives. God's got amazing plans right now. God's got amazing plans for tomorrow. Whatever the situation, whether it's a personal thing or just seeing more and more of his kingdom advance. I love to pray for people to be healed. But I have to admit, most of the time I do it in church. To see it outside is my dream. I'd love to do it more and more. But it's difficult when it's non-Christians a lot of the time, because you have to go through this awkward conversation. It just feels strange. But the other week at school, I was talking to this teacher who'd got a bad ear or something, I really reckon it. And so I was having this internal conversation in my head, because she's going, oh, my ear's really hurting me. And there's a little voice pipes up in my ear, you could pray for it, Christian. You could pray for it. You could say, do you want prayer? And I'm like, I'm not praying for it. It's just going to be stupid. I'm not doing that. I'm leaving it. It's going to feel I'm like some kind of religious nutcase or something. So I'm leaving it. And she carries on talking. We carry on talking. And this voice in my head's getting louder and louder. And I'm like, oh, God. And in the end, I was like, right, look, I pray for people. And a lot of the time they get better. Do you want me to give it a whirl and see what happens? And she's like, yeah, all right. I don't know if she was expecting me to pray when I went home or just to lay hands on her there, but I just went, right, let's do it then. And I put my hand on her ear. I think she must be on that wall. And I prayed for it, and I'm thinking, oh, you better show up now, God, because I'm feeling pretty stupid. If nothing happens now, then I'm going to be like, yeah, it's real. It's not my fault you can't feel him. Anyway, I'm praying, and then I took my hand off her. I said, right, how does it feel? And she's going, man, it's just got all the way better. That's absolutely phenomenal. She's, like, completely healed. And I'm like, oh, thank you. But it's a fear thing, you know? I'm worried about what she thinks about me. I'm worried about this and that. So you've got some of God's kingdom coming. Now she's a little bit more open to God. She's a little bit more open to the possibility that he's real. You know, ears don't just heal themselves for no reason. So something's happened. So she's had an experience of God. But I've got to overcome some of these fears. And we've all got something there, because I feel that for God's kingdom to come, there's a lot of this for me is like, well, let's just push past the things that hinder us, push past the fears, push past the worries, push past the anxieties, trust God with them, put them into his hands. Yes, and I still struggle all the time with it, obviously. But it's, God, I trust you with this situation. I trust you with this. I trust you with whatever I'm dealing with right now. I don't know what the future looks like, but I will give you this worry right now, and I'll trust that you'll be there for me in it. And whatever you're going through right now, whatever the situation that you're facing right now, wherever you are, or whatever in the future you're worried about, put it into Jesus' hands. He's faithful. He's totally faithful. And he'll totally take you through whatever it is that you're currently going through. I'm going to end there. Well, I'll offer out some ministry for anyone who wants freedom from any fear or freedom from any worry or anxieties that are weighing you down at the moment. And as usual, healing. I haven't got any specific words for healing, but it tends not to matter for a lot of people. They tend to just like to to come up in any case. So if you want anything physical healing as well, then please feel free to come to the front as well, and I'll be at the front, and I'll happily pray there. Okay, so we've got a hymn to finish off. Is that right? And can it be? Sounds good. And can it be? So we're going to finish off with that. If you, as the band are playing that out, if you want to come to the front for prayer or afterwards, then I'll be here to pray. But if you would invite you to stand for this final song, and we'll just pray as well as we do this. God, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love to each and every one of you. Each and every one of us, Lord God, that you bless us, that you're with us, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, Lord God, and that you wish to take us through everything. Lord God, for this coming week, we pray that you'll help us to shine for you as ambassadors for Christ. Amen.